The Ideal Order by Christoph Bartnick. All characters appearing in this work are fictitious. Any resemblance to real persons, living or dead, is purely coincidental. To be highly organized is, I should fancy, the object of man's existence. A quote from Oscar Wilde, The Picture of Dorian Gray. Part 1.
No, you can't buy any more Lego. Why don't you build your old sets first?
Oh, but these new Arctic sets are so cool, and the children will love them.
I looked again at the toy brochure that had come with the mail this morning. The girls and I had studied every page carefully. Studying the new offerings and discounts of the local toy shop was our weekly ritual. Little Poppy loved the 60062 set with the Huskies, and Camellia had her eyes on the 60036 home base. Camellia would usually favour the largest set since she knew Dad's weak spot and had a better understanding of money than her younger sister.
You are a grown man, Robert. Do not waste all this money on toys. You already have more than enough bricks.
The annoyance in her voice tinted my heart with sadness. I looked down on the breakfast table, trying to evade Marky's gaze and trying to hide my melancholy. Marky didn't share my naive pleasure of playing with Lego. She hadn't grown up with it and couldn't feel the distant memory of a happy childhood. Now that I had children myself, my own fascination with the brick had returned. Marky's emphasis on me being a grown-up only meant the opposite. We'd been married for far too long for me not to pick up on these subtle jibes. But there was another reason why sadness slipped into my heart. I enjoyed playing with Lego with my daughters. It had been difficult for me to engage with the girls by playing with dolls or role-playing school. I truly loved the two, but dressing dolls and participating in tea parties challenged my patience. Though the girls could not yet articulate their frustration, they certainly sensed my disinterest. It was no fun playing dolls with Daddy. But when the bricks were out, the tables turned. Daddy was full of enthusiasm, and the girls were sometimes more happy about being able to play with me than the actual Lego models. I enjoyed connecting with the girls, but Marky's criticism was as effective as a 630 brick separator in separating them. I shook my head and tried to put my feelings aside. Marky was right. I did have a lot of bricks, and I could indeed build all my old models with the girls before buying new ones. I had kept the building instructions, and all the bricks were in the big plastic container. I swallowed my pride. You're right, Marky, I could build those models.
Maybe you can help me first, cleaning up the table?
Of course.
What are you doing?
I'm sorting the bricks.
Why?
So we can find them easily.
Can I help?
Sure, just grab a box and put all the green bricks in it. Camellia sat down and started to throw green bricks into a box. Wasn't long before Poppy walked in and joined the hunt. Poppy, why don't you sort out all the blue bricks?
Okay.
For a while, we were absorbed by the task, and the girls made it a game of who could collect bricks the fastest. Then Poppy picked up a big bluish-green 4x6 plate.
Poppy, you're cheating! That's a green brick and it belongs in my box!
No, that's blue, it's mine!
That's not true! That's green and it's mine, you're cheating!
I am not cheating, don't say that!
Daddy, that's green, isn't it?
Well, I'm not certain.
Daddy, that's blue!
No, green!
Girls, calm down! Maybe we can put it aside for a little while until we figure this out. How does that relate to my Lego problem?
How did you decide which colours share a bin and what was this definition based on?
Well, for most cases it was obvious. Well, the girls only really fought about some weird bluish green colour.
Bluish green? What a name for a colour. Was it blue or green?
I don't know. It was somewhere in between.
There you go. You didn't have clear definitions and hence you couldn't sort the bricks. You're not alone with this problem. Many cultures in the world use the same word for both blue and green. In the Lakota Sioux language, for example, thol is used for both.
Well, how could I have distinguished between them? I mean, I haven't got a spectrophotometer at home.
Even if you did, it might not have helped, since there is no clear definition of where one colour starts and the other ends. Plus, you would still have to convince your daughters.
Well, that could indeed have been a problem. Language is a surprisingly dynamic phenomenon. New words enter our dictionary, change their meaning, or fall out of usage. Still, people have to agree to some degree for communication to work at all. This would not only concern me and my girls, but all the Lego fans.
You might want to look into the Austrian philosopher Ludwig Wittgenstein.
What relevant thoughts did he fail to conceal?
He first published a book entitled Tractatus Logico-Philosophicus, in which he elaborated on the logic of language. He tried to clean up the language so that philosophers could more clearly define what problems actually are true problems and which are only language games. One of his famous recommendations has been, what we cannot speak about, we must pass over in silence.
I wish more people would follow his recommendation. But what does this have to do with my sorting problem?
We use words to classify the world we live in. Our language then defines the boundaries of what is thinkable.
It doesn't matter who had it first. Look, if you two do not agree, then I get it. Hand me the pen.
The traffic light is blue.
What?
The traffic light is blue. Drive.
It's green, not blue. What are you talking about?
That's what you say in Japanese.
Yeah, but your traffic lights are green.
I know, but we call it blue.
Now, that's interesting. That might be a good example of prototype theory. You know, there are 11 basic colours from which most languages take their definitions of colour. In particular, the difference between blue and green is not present in many languages.
Japanese has a word for green, midori, but it is a new word.
How new?
I do not know. Traffic lights are ao, which means blue and green.
That's exactly what I mean. Eleanor Roach discovered that, well...
Stop lecturing me and pay attention to the road.
I just wanted to share some ideas with you.
I don't care about prototypes. Just drive so that I can get home with the kids.
Poppy and Camellia came back into the dinner area, sitting on their seats. They held each other's hands and stared at their parents. Let what go? Making sure this family and this household works.
It works fine, except for you. You are mentally sick. You should go to a therapist and have your head checked.
Poppy put her fingers in her ears. I'm what? What makes you think that?
I actually read an article about obsessive compulsive disorder, and I think it is a pretty clear case. I found a questionnaire where you can test yourself.
I might like order. But I am not sick. You just don't understand the difference between a true mental illness and personality tendencies.
Oh, here we go again. Professor Park, another lecture.
I'm just trying to explain to you
that... Shut up! Oh!
You want to fight, do you?
Let me go!
We can do that. You can hit me and I can hit you back. And that will hurt. I am fed up with this. I will kick you out. I will not tolerate this any longer. You will not hit me again. You are going now.
I didn't want to hit you.
Bullshit. I pushed her forwards in the direction of the front door. She let herself sink to the ground, but I didn't let go of her hands. I turned around and dragged her across the floor behind me. The children were crying in terror. Out. Out you go.
I didn't hit you.
Go away! Go away!
Let me in! Fucker!
Every beat on the door vibrated in my chest. The silence that followed sparked my fear. I held my breath. Why did she stop? I peeked around the door in time to see Marky disappear through the garden gate. The back doors. The children. I ran back into the dining room and took both girls into my arms. I could already see Marky through the kitchen window. Everything will be all right. It'll be okay. I carried the girls with their heads pressed against my chest so they could not see Marky. But I could not block her yelling, and both girls cried out loud.
Mommy! Mommy!
I ran into the only room in the house that did not have a window. The walk-in closet in Marky's room. I switched on the light and closed the door behind us. I sat down on the floor with both girls in my arms. I'm sorry. I am so sorry. Everything will be all right. I promise.
I'm scared, Daddy. I want Mummy.
You can't go there now. I'm sorry. Mummy is very angry. I could only hold on to the girls and provide them with protection. But it was really me who needed them to not lose it all. What are we doing? We shouldn't fight like this in front of the children. I should not use physical force. This will damage them for life. How can I ever make this up?
I've ruined our marriage. I've ruined the future of the girls. It's all gone.
It's all right. I'm sorry.
What's going to happen?
I don't know, but we'll figure it out.